within a normal time. And if we wait till the sun sets here, I'll be talking until 10 to 11 p.m. We get this beautiful view up there, the upper room, so we watch the sunsets every night. Isn't this stunning? And, you know, being from the East Coast, we see the sun come up on the ocean, but we never get this, ever. And the colors and the, you know, just a real treat for us to be here. And we had fun in church today, and it was a good day. I've sort of had a theme. I have a theme of ditches worth dying in. And this morning it was Stephen, the first martyr of the church. And why would a person give their life for this stuff? What's so important about this that you would actually die for it? Why not just give it up and move on and let it fall apart? But Stephen was willing to die for something that mattered. And tonight, or this evening, I want to talk about a very special man, Galileo, in relation to Psalm 8. On Monday morning, tomorrow morning, I'm going to look at a church worth pruning. So for Galileo, it's a truth worth sacrificing for. And tomorrow it'll be a church worth pruning, cutting back. I mentioned that in the sermon this morning. And how is the church being pruned in our current culture, cut back to where it can grow? So anyway, that's what I'm doing. And I'm playing golf, and I'm watching sunsets, and I'm not going home. So I don't know who's the pastor for next week, but call him and tell him, you know, don't bother. Well, pray with me, will you? Thanks. Lord, this is your sanctuary. This is the stuff you make. We build buildings to honor you, and you give us the world to enjoy. You are creative. You are imaginative. You're an artist, a musician, sometimes a comedian. You are rich, and you allow us, your children, to inherit your wealth. So in these few moments on a Sabbath day, we sit in this sacred sanctuary of yours, and we bring you homage and praise. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Psalm 8 should be very familiar to you. It's a beautiful psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beast of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of the Lord. Well, in 1633, a long time ago, 383 years ago, Galileo stood before the church inquisition for heresy. Now, what did he do that was so terrible? Had he said that God did not exist? No. Had Galileo rejected Jesus Christ as the Son of God? No. Galileo suggested that we, humans, are not the center of the universe. That's it. The sun is the middle of our solar system, and the earth revolves around it. And that seems pretty harmless to us today. But that shift in how we view ourselves was very, very threatening. Surely they thought humanity was at the center of God's creation, the apple of God's eye, all things revolving around us, made in the image of God. Surely we've got to be the center of all things. But a telescope displaced us, and the study of the moons of Jupiter. They sentenced Galileo to house arrest for this heresy for the remainder of his life. He was a sickly old man of 70, and those of you who are 70, that's not old today, but it was old back then. He's a sickly older gentleman of 70, and he died in Florence, Italy, in his villa on January 8, 1642, and I guess they thought that was the end of it. So what is at the center of this universe as we sit here, as you sit here, glaring into that bright sun? What's at the center of the whole thing? The psalmist seems to have known long before Galileo that something else was at the center when he wrote, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?" Knowing what or who is at the center of this universe we're enjoying tonight, that determines who we are and who we are not. We find our rightful place among all this truth. It doesn't all revolve around us. It doesn't revolve around me. Threatening to some people, that is, who live as if the universe, they are the center of the universe, and freeing to others. Because wasn't it egocentricity that caused Adam and Eve to fall? They believed a lie, that they were more than God had created them to be. They sought all knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil. That's all knowledge. There is no knowledge outside of the knowledge of good and evil. And to seek all knowledge is to seek God-like status. I want to be like you, O God. I want to rise above the limitations that you have placed on me. And when they did that, they became estranged from this God who has hung that sun behind my back. And isn't that egocentricity the core of all sin? Wanting to be more than what God simply created us to be, dependent creatures upon God. And yet we seek to rise above the very simple thing God created us to be, human beings who were created to enjoy this as a gift every day. Galileo could not, nor would he, deny what he knew to be true. It was a ditch worth dying in for him. It was a sacrifice worth making. Why? Because it was the truth. He said to the Inquisition, "I know what your Bible may say, but the telescope says you are not the center of the universe. The sun is." The sun is. Is that spelled S-U-N or S-O-N? The sun is. The fact that something else is at the center of the universe should not diminish us or cause us to be sad. In fact, it actually frees us up. It's a different kind of freedom from the freedom that we celebrate this eve of 4th of July. It's the freedom one receives when they are reconciled with God. I know my rightful place with the God of this Son, who is at the center of our universe. When I discover who I really am, I become free. Free from the rat race, free from the human race, free from the quest to be more than who God made me to be, free to enjoy the creation that God has given to us. In 1922, the church finally vindicated Galileo. 1922. Pope John Paul II said this: thanks to his intuition as a brilliant physicist and relying on different arguments, Galileo, who practically invented the experimental method, understood why only the sun could function as the center of the world. The error of the theologians of the time, when they maintained the centrality of the earth, was to think that our understanding of the physical world structure was in some way imposed by the literal sense of sacred scripture. What a mouthful to come from a pope in 1922. The error of the theologians of the time. Interestingly enough, in the year 2000, the Catholic Church issued a formal apology for all mistakes and sins committed by the church over the past 2,000 years. Seemed a good thing to do. Kind of purged the rolls, the sheets, you know. And at the top of that list, what do you think was there? The trial of Galileo. He died in that ditch. And because he did, we have a more accurate view of who we are, both as from a science viewpoint and I would say from a theological viewpoint. From time to time, our worldview has changed, hasn't it? The world is not flat. We had to get over that because it sure looks like it is, doesn't it? And so it just makes sense that it would be flat. But it's not. And it would make sense that because we were created in the image of God, that we would be at the center of the solar system, the head of the whole thing. But we're not. Our logic fails us often. And it makes me wonder, what are we missing today? What would we swear is true right now? Like we used to swear, that's flat. Everybody see that? That's flat. And then someone came along and changed our mind. What are we seeing today that we would swear is the truth? And we may soon find out it's not. The error of the theologians of the day. We're missing some truths, and yet other truths have been made real to us. The truth of Christ, who came in human flesh to show us who God is and what God is like. We didn't get that wrong, although we tried to get it wrong. We crucified him. And what he did was got up again from the grave. A love that we can't understand but only receive. A reality that has transformed many a person's life. A love of God that will not die, in spite of all of our efforts to kill it. God, in your infinite wisdom, the one who made the earth round and the sun to hang there in space and for us to revolve around it. And we're spinning at 66,000 miles an hour right now. Do you feel it? No. Is it true? Yes. There's a lot of truth around us we may not feel, we may not see. We might even swear it's not there. It doesn't mean it's not. And God revealed that truth to us in your infinite mercy as we enjoy this sunset on this beautiful Sabbath day and our freedom as Americans to even gather here and talk about it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. You've said I could end this any way I want to. The peace of Christ be with you. You know how to do that? Okay. Good. I used to be a Methodist. Did you know that? Yeah. And I went to Duke, yeah. And then I was predestined to be a Presbyterian, so I had to change.
And I heard you say this morning you'd give up being a Presbyterian. You said that.
Yeah, I did say that, but I'll never give up being a Christian. Hopefully most of the time they're the same thing, but you never know. but changing from Methodist was not a bad thing. But the reason I wanted to end it with the peace, so you could do that, but I wanted to say, Dave and I were talking tonight before we came out, the Methodists have this lifelong relationship with the Moravians. And I don't know if you know that story. How many of you are Methodists who are here? Yeah, okay. Well, maybe you know this. But when Wesley was in Georgia, he failed miserably. He had this stuffy religion and all these rules and regulations. And one lady tried to stab him with a pair of scissors down there, Fort Frederica. And he got on the ship to go back to England, and there was a great storm. And, you know, those little wooden ships, and they were being tossed to and fro. And Wesley freaked out. I mean, he thought he was going to die. And the Moravians were in the bottom of the boat. And you know how Moravians are. They love to sing. Did you know that about them? They sing everything all the time. And they're very good at it. And they're in the bottom of the boat singing. And in the middle of a storm. And Wesley said to them, we're going to die here. And one of them said to Wesley, have you no faith? And that question stuck in his craw. And he came home and developed a relationship with Peter Baylor, who was a young 26-year-old Moravian. And that conversation was a piece of the variables that led him to Altersgate and his conversion. So in the Book of Common Worship for Methodists, in the back of the book, there is a love feast, a Moravian love feast. That's there because Wesley was so appreciative of their impact upon him that they showed him true faith. So when you were singing tonight, there's a point to this story, not to just impress you that I know all this stuff. I had to do a term paper at Duke, and I just happened to remember it. But anyway, you know, when you were singing tonight, I thought, wouldn't Wesley be happy to hear Methodists singing in such harmony by the sea, because it was singing of the Moravians that witnessed to him a faith and a trust in God in spite of the storms of life. It's an amazing story. And he was an amazing guy. And I'm not a Methodist for any bad reason. I was just predestined. So let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for the beauty of this place, for our friendship, for the rich history of this community, layer upon layer of family and friends who come here year after year. We thank you that some things don't change, and we do thank you that some things do. We're grateful for those things that change in your kingdom according to your will and purpose. This sun has been hanging there forever, and it reminds us of your love that is steadfast. It also reminds us we are not the center of all creation. You are. We pay tribute and honor to you. We thank you for people who would die in ditches for great truths in this world, whether for freedom from other countries and oppression, or freedom from our own sense of entitlement and aggrandizement. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers, receive our thanks and praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Will the peace of Christ be with you? Would you pass the peace to one another? And God bless you. And you're welcome to stay out here until 10:30 p.m.